So I'm going to speak a little bit about a game that I made, and about because I made the game for several platforms. So I'm going to speak on a design perspective, stuff that I had to change to accommodate for each platform input or the output, like you have a touchscreen or you have a gamepad on a console. I'm going to start by showing a video that was supposed to be shown earlier on. So let me see if I can.
Little breeze in the air. You finally reach the ruins of the in old here? Onfar mansion. But who knows what secrets and horrors lie inside? And will you survive? Well, I didn't see what that was at all. Can I move a WASD? Yes, I can. What's this? Nice effort, but you died. Okay, don't attack. Don't attack the skull poster.
Okay, let's see if we can. Did he just hit me for 40? Yeah, I'm gonna die here. What else can you use? Come on, show off some skills. Half alert. Bang. YOLO. Oh, he's trolling me.
Which
right.
One said it?
Yeah.
Scrumptious Gabri Giyogi. What is that? Scrumptious.
No, kurde, no, co za. Jakiegoś odpornego na maki gnojka za. No dobra, zobaczmy, że gramy dopiero 7,5 minut. A taki fajny run był. Hila dostałem, którego ani razu nie zużyłem.
So yeah, this was a video that I had for the keynote, but there was a mix-up. So just to show and to also thank some of the people that have been playing the game and spreading the word about the game, because most of the time people learn about it by word of mouth. So my name is David. I work for a studio that's just one person right now. It's me, Upfall Studios. I usually work with other people as well, so if I need extra, I need someone to do some art or music, so I hire that person as a freelance. It's just me doing all of the code. So I'm going to speak about Quest of Dungeons, and this is just a small overview for those who don't know. It's around 7 platforms right now that's been out. The game plays similarly on all platforms right now, so just changes to the UI or the input that you use to control the character and stuff that I had to change because of that different input. Also, the game right now it supports touchscreens. You can play it with a mouse or keyboard, and since a week ago you can play it with a gamepad on the Xbox One. This is just a picture showing the several different screens. So you have a tablet, you have a phone. It's the same game, but you have subtle changes to the way the UI is presented. So we have right here, we have a typical screen of Quest of Dungeons looks like. So on the top left corner, you have the health and the mana. The amount of health and the mana that you have. On the bottom left corner are the buttons for the inventory, the map, the journal. On the right side, the bottom corner, you have all the actions that you can use. So you have right here, it's the weapon that you have equipped, the skill. And over here, it's a spell book that you open where you can change the to another skill. And all of that time, in all different platforms, we need to have access to all of this. So the player needs to be able to access his inventory, his character, equipment, quests, skills, and all of that in order to play the game. So just to give a small idea, so all characters are 22 by 24 in pixels, and all tiles are 24 by 24. This is actually it's not on scale, so it doesn't. It's not of this size, of course, but it's just to show that some of the elements that are inside of the game, that's one of the patterns for the tile set of one of the floors. So it randomizes accordingly to some rules to those over there. So the game, because we have several different screens, you have a tablet, you have a phone, you have a on a computer, it's even harder because you have several different resolutions according to have a laptop. You can play it at when 1080p, you can play it at lower resolutions. So the game itself, the characters, they don't scale in the normal way. I have a fixed resolution and it scales up to the screen. What I use is the more screen size you have, the more area it's shown. Right here, it's very small, but as you can see, this is the original size as the game was drawn, so it looks very small. What I use later is that I scale it. For example, on the phones, it uses a two. It multiplies by two, so you can see it better. But for desktops and consoles, it felt better. This is not on scale compared to each other, but everything is bigger on your computer and on the consoles. And on the phones, it's a smaller one. But I usually use multipliers because you shouldn't scale pixel art by floating points. It looks terrible. The game has three different types of UI right now. It doesn't mean that I have three assets for each other, three different assets. Actually, there's only two. There's the compact and the desktop one. But I have three types of interface. So I have the smartphones that it's touch-based, and then I have a normal one that it's shared across the tablet and the desktop, and then finally the gamepad where you can play with a controller. What I use to try and make the game, the UI feel good on all screens is that things spread across the screen and everything kind of glues to the corners. So if you play on a bigger screen, the top left one will go up until where the screen begins. So you have three different screen resolutions and this thing is always on the corners. So you have a bigger area. It looks like you have more area to breathe in. And actually on the computers, you can actually play with some menus open because you have more space and you don't need to close them. Like, for example, on the phone, where if you open a menu, you have to use it and then close it to play again. So now I'm going to focus a little bit on just the mobile one. All smartphones and tablets, they all allow for rotation. So the everything needs to, when you rotate the screen, it's real time. You rotate it, and everything goes, if you watch it closely, everything goes to the corners. You can keep rotating the device, and you have a different feel to it. I also did this because, for example, on a smartphone, you have a smaller area. But if you rotate the device, you have a square. You can actually see a square. If you keep rotating, you'll see right here you see to the left and the right, and right here you see to the bottom and the top. So it gives a full square that you can actually look, and it's easier. If you notice, on the left we have the smartphone, on the right we have a tablet. There's a big difference, for example, if you notice we have four buttons here, and we only have three over there. That's actually because some of the menus had to be rewritten to fit the screen. So I'm going to show you. This is the tablet version, an example. When you go to a shopkeeper and you can buy and sell stuff, there's your inventory on the left. On the right screen, there's the shop. So you can have both menus open. There's a lot of room to breathe in. You can open more menus. You can have these two fit together nicely. But for example, on the smartphone, I had to take a different approach because it doesn't fit the whole screen. That wouldn't be possible. So we have a tab. I had a tab approach to, you have the inventory. You open your inventory and you have these three tabs. You have the inventory itself. You have the equipment on the second one. And finally, the quests. I managed to eliminate the whole button, the quest button from the main screen. I could eliminate it and fit it here. So on a smartphone, you don't have as much buttons as on a tablet. I also tried to, because I did this, this also allows me, if you play on, for example, this is a screen resolution from an iPhone 5 and the iPhone 6 Plus, you have more area. It's the same game, But it feels bad. Actually, you can interact with just this place over here. You can just click here and leave that open. It allows you that. It's not very nice, but it allows you that. Over here, you have less area. So the bigger the screen, the zoom on the characters are the same, but the UI feels like you have more place to breathe in, and it looks nicer on bigger resolution screens. This is the, when you open this thing over here, it's a spellbook, you open up a list of all your skills. I added this option where you can toggle between a compact mode and a more wide with the description, because it's very, after a couple of minutes, like if you have too much skills, scrolling down, if you only have, you need the descriptions, but after a while you know what they do. So I added this mode because people kept getting frustrated of scrolling down the list to find that particular skill. So I eventually added this thing so that once you know that Deep Cut does whatever it does, you can put it on this mode and you have almost everything on one screen. You just do a small scroll and you can press it. On that one, usually it fits only one or two depending on your size, on your phone screen. So this allows the player to feel more comfortable with their equipment, if it's a small device. Well, I mentioned this before, so you have all menus are touch-based. You can play, you can press the character to go to wherever you want. You just press here and the character goes. And you can use swipe. Swipe is just for one tile movement, for precise movements. And you can, in any place of the screen, you swipe up and you will move just one position. This is a video showing, just so you guys can get this is how it plays on a smartphone. So you can access the menus, you have that tab over there, you can quickly access it. And change between tabs, you have the equipment, everything fits in just one screen. Can switch between attacking and the secondary attack. And there are skills, then you can just attack. Yeah, that's the menu I was talking about. Okay, so let's watch this is the map that you can use to navigate when you're a bit lost. So now let's take a look. This is the tablet version. It's same game, but it has a different menu. Okay, so it's a bigger one. You have the equipment and the inventory over there. You can actually play, like I said, you can actually play with that menu open. It's kind of nice. You can see what you have, your stats. You can keep playing. You can keep playing the game just on that area. You can close it or open. You can even have the map and the inventory open. So taking advantage of the bigger area that most tablets have. Yeah. Okay. So let's move along to the desktop. Actually, the desktop shares, it's very similar to the tablet version. When I started making the game initially, I started from the iPad version, the tablet version. And I went from there because it's easy to, those menus can fit properly on a desktop. So the only thing that you have different is that you use a mouse, so you have a cursor around, so you can know where you're going. And I took advantage of a mouse has usually two buttons, so you can use the primary button for this, the secondary for this. So I took advantage of the input that each platform has so that it feels like it was done for that particular platform instead of just touch-based, because one of the early complaints about the game on PC was that it didn't allow the full keyboard access to the game. Only, for example, the menus are are mouse cursor based, but you can move the character with the keys, but you can't use the menus with keys. So people complain about it. It's not fully keyboard user friendly, so to speak, right now. So this is just a video showing that it's different. So it's pretty much the same. It's pretty much the same thing as the tablet version. It uses the same graphics. It just has highlights. For example, when you're pointing, you have highlights or where you're targeting. This is nice, so the player can know the area that it will affect. This is something that you usually don't need on a tab on a touch device because you are putting the, your finger on the place that you want to target. So this gives a nice feeling to where you're pointing, where you want to go, highlighting the menus, and all of that. So it feels like you're actually interacting. You're indirectly interacting with the screen, but you can feel like everything is, yeah, so highlighting that. So let's, everything is pretty much the same. So moving along. So this is just the several different screens that the game has right now. So the inventory, the map, the skills, and the quests. And I'm mentioning this because for consoles, I had to take a different approach. Most controllers these days all have more or less the same button count, so you don't have to care about this only has A, B, or the. So most of these, the current generation, they all share the same button count. For this example, since the game was coming out to Xbox One, I focused on the Xbox One controller. This is the PC version, as I mentioned earlier. So you have a lot of menus that you can use. Most of them can be open at the same time. You have one on the left corner, you have one on the right corner. And this is nice for a desktop approach, because people are used to having different menus open. They can relate with that. And you can easily play because you have the cursor to move around. But this doesn't look good for controller approach. Because obviously I couldn't be using the right analog to emulate a cursor. That looks terrible on a console game. And most of the screens were separated, so I had to come up with a solution that people felt like they were playing, and they needed, and they could easily use all the menus. This is how it ended up being for the Xbox version. So I got rid of the buttons over there, so you don't need to press anything for the journal, the inventory, and the map. You still have this. But everything has like a small hint of which button you have to press. This is actually something that people never complained on the keyboard because they know that the M is the map, the character is the C, something like that. But over here, nothing relates to each. So the A button or the B doesn't, you can't do like A for something. So I ended up putting this here because it's easier to play and the player doesn't have to keep remembering what was the button that I need to press. So I also added this one for the what I call now the bag instead of being the inventory. Because when you open your bag, you now have this for the controller. Everything is, I took more or less the same tabbed approach from the smartphone version. So the player can use the triggers to move around each tab, and they can use the D-pad or the left analog to select the items, and then they can use one of the buttons to interact. So it always tells the player, okay, so if you want to drink, you can use A. If you want to drop, you can use this key. And the player can quickly go to just one button. They can quickly go to anything, any one of those. But this is a full menu. Like, you open the game, you can't run the game anymore, but you open, you interact with whatever you want to do, and then you close it. For the that skill book that I showed you early that you had to scroll, this was a bit more tricky, so I ended up adding that. So when you press the right button, it as long as you have the right button pressed, it opens up that menu, and that you can scroll with up, down, and you can quickly select another skill. So I'm going to show how this works. Sorry for the quality of the video, but I think you can get. So the player presses a button, they can quickly go up and down and select whatever they want. This is quick to access. They don't feel frustrated like opening up a full menu and selecting. This is very easy to use. They can still see the game. And actually, when you are selecting different skills, if you have an enemy targeted, it will show you the area that you can use. So if they have four enemies over here, you can see that, oh, I'm going to be able to target all of these, and they can select another one if that doesn't feel right for that particular move that he wants to do. Another problem was that for consoles, you usually play on the television. That poses up some problems because most people play it a bit far from the television. So you're not close to the screen, and if you're not careful enough, things will be tiny. Like I don't know if you've seen, but there are some games that people complain, oh, the text is too tiny, I can't read it. It's a nightmare to read because I'm far away. I'm on my couch and I'm playing. And that was something that people complained a lot. Some people approached me saying, oh, because my game is heavily text-based, then they said, maybe this won't feel good on a television. So I added an option so you can zoom in. The left one is actually the default one when you start playing on the Xbox. This is the normal screen on a computer. So if the player plays too far away from the television, he can have that zoom in, and it feels more comfortable. He's far away from the television. Everything seems bigger. He can read it properly. He doesn't have to be like this, like trying to see what's on the television. And I also left the option for the normal size because I know I do that sometimes. Some people have the console plugged into a computer monitor, and they are playing very close to the monitor. And the problem is that if you're this close and you have to do this with your head, if you have a screen menu filling up the whole screen and you have to do this, it's uncomfortable. So this one is great for if you have a big screen in front of you, just have this area to look at because you're very close. You don't feel like you're misreading something. And that over there is for the television when you're far away playing on your couch. The game also has a zoom option where players can select a proper zoom. If you're noticing, the game itself zooms on the background because some people think that the characters are too tiny. It kind of depends on the television and the distance. So I added a couple of options so people can feel comfortable with their own setup. Some televisions, I don't know if anyone knows this, but some televisions don't display the whole area of the image. I don't know if you ever noticed, some movies feel like they have a little part cut off the screen. Some older televisions don't show up the whole area. And there's actually a formula that there's a safe area that all televisions will show, but this area over here, it's not guaranteed that the television will show. Most LCDs will show it. Desktop monitors will show up the whole area. Most modern televisions show everything, but for example, I know my mom's television doesn't show, and it's 4 years old, and I tried it, it's 720p, and it doesn't show the whole area. The menus would be out of the screen. So this is a problem. So I came up with this solution that's actually been used a lot. It's not new, I just implemented it on my game. So the player can select, I don't know if you can properly see that image. So you have these tiny red arrows that the player can select the whole screen or a smaller one. And if they select a smaller one, if you notice, the game all the UI will fit accordingly to a viewport instead of being on the screen. So I know right now that this is the safe area. The game will still display until here, but the UI is all on the safe area. This is important, and this is actually some of the guidelines when you do a game for a console, that everything that's you need to read, all the important content, needs to fit on the safe area view. I also added a couple of other things, like small, for example, when you approach something, this wasn't on the desktop version, when you approach an item or something with your character, it displays a small hint of the button that you need to use, because some people would, what do I need to do? They can't remember the button, so this helps. But I also had it in a way that when you're running around the dungeon, it doesn't keep popping up for example, if you have another one here and you move very quickly, it won't show up only after a couple of seconds. It has a delay. I'm going to show you a video to explain it better. So if you keep running around that stone, oh, it shows up. So if you keep running around, it won't show up because it's annoying. But if you stop, it will show you. It has a tiny delay. so that if people are just running around the dungeon and they are coming past a couple of items, it's annoying to see that X button popping up on everyone, single one of them. So it has a tiny delay. So if the player comes up to the item and presses the button before he knows that the button is used, he can press it. It won't display. If he can't remember, so it displays that small hint. It usually selects it has a rule for what I consider the most important one. It's not random, but for example, I'm assuming that probably the door is the most important thing that the person wants to use, because he can use everything else around to use the stone. So he only has this tile to use the door, but he has all of this to use the stone. So if he's here, it will use the door. It's just... The triggers are used to change the target only for enemies. So you have a couple of enemies, for example, the ranged character. If you have a couple of enemies far apart, you can use the triggers to select a different one and then attack. So this is how... Yeah, this is an image. So the store you have on the top one, how it was on the desktop. This is how the store ended up on the gamepad. It's very similar to the bag itself. So it's just to show up. It's not a thing that we haven't talked to. This is just a small thing that when I was playtesting the game, the image isn't that great here, but when I was playtesting, a lot of people, when they open up a menu, they kept... pressing the wrong buttons, and I couldn't really understand why. So eventually I realized that, if you notice, this, when you open this, you have a lot of buttons here. That's the interface behind, the one that keeps being displayed. And when people would open up this one, they still had this, so it was confusing. They have the B button here, the B button here, and some people got confused. So eventually I added this subtle change that made all the difference. So it's a background, a small fading, so that people can fully focus on this one. They don't care about this. Even if it's the same button, they don't get confused anymore. It's pretty standard. So you can use the D-pad and the left analog stick to move the character. You can use the triggers, as I mentioned, to select a different character, a different enemy, actually. And I have a video here. This is just the final layout of how that the person, when the person starts the game, that they get. This is actually rebindable. And this is a small video showing how the game works on the console. So if you notice, you can use the triggers to select that one over there. You can't see it because it's too dark on the screen. So you can keep from range, you can keep selecting one or another. You can very easy to target another different enemy. You can choose enough. You can use the right trigger to move around the selection area, the right analog, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's fairly easy to use everything with the gamepad. You have the bag, you have everything over there. They can still go here for the skills. There's no quests. The map, it's pretty much all just a different input, but it's the map is pretty similar. So just to finish up, we have... this was actually a request that I got a lot, that people complained, have rebindable keys, some place where I can change the keys. This was very, so I ended up adding, it's a bit of a nightmare to add if you're only on the end of the development, which was my case. I never had this. I remember that one of the problems was that as soon as I switched there, I had to, this had to reflect the change. So if the person wants to use the B button here, it has to switch. So it's a nice touch that people can switch the keys and they will ask for it. Because most of the times, people don't feel comfortable with that the layout that you come up with. So if you have an option that they can change, not those fixed templates that people can scroll, like template one, template two, that has a predefined set, but people can actually go here and, I want the inventory to be X button. That helps. And just to one Other difference is that the character plays much slower on the console version. This was because when you're moving around with the analog, it takes a couple of fractions of seconds to move your thumb. And when you're doing a movement, what would occur was that when trying to fit in a door, you're running and you want to go down to a door, people would take some time doing this movement down and they would miss the door. This is actually easy with the D-pad because it's you just press the button and you can let go very quickly. But doing this movement with the analog takes more time. So the game, the character moves approximately 10% slower on the consoles. You can't notice it. I know it. Most people can't even notice it, but it makes all the difference. So the game is playable with the analog stick and it wasn't before. Just a quick... some bullet points. I think I mentioned all of this by now. Try to see the strong points and the weak points of each platform. There's a lot more stuff that I haven't mentioned. If you guys can ask me later if you want. I just tried to cover all the general approaches. See if something fits that device. Don't try to emulate what you had already just to fit on the new platform, because people usually notice that. I remember some of the reviews for the Xbox version mentioned that the developer actually took some time taking a different approach to the interface instead of just copy-pasting the mobile version. Because most players, you know that, they will see a mobile game coming to a console, they think he didn't even took the time to take a different approach. So try to make something that feels right to the device that you are using. Yeah, so that's the end. Thank you for being here. If you have, I don't know if you have time for questions, but you have any questions that you want to make now or later, even if stuff that I haven't mentioned here, feel free to. Everyone is hungry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, if I want to do a PlayStation version, I just need to replace the assets. And I have a config file where I just need to map the PlayStation button to the game. Yeah, I made it thinking on possible if at some point it happens. Right now, it's fully configurable to any controller-based scheme. So yes, for PlayStation, it would just replace the assets. The version that's on Steam right now, it doesn't have the controller approach yet. The game came out on Xbox about a week ago. It will eventually have, and yes, when you plug in a controller, you will play with the new interface. The reason I'm keeping the old one is because people are used to it by now. Many people prefer the new one, but some people are used to the old one. So if you play with a keyboard, you have the old one. If you plug in a controller, as soon as I get that patch live, you will get the new interface that the Xbox One has.
One of the parts you said something that actually got me curious because of the market. You said that for the console version, you basically made it so that the keys were rebindable.
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually probably a little bit weird. Because not the fact that you did that, but the fact that you did it for the console version. Normally, the PC kind of client is the type of client that likes to be very editable with everything, which in console, the consumer base is used to not having that option.
Yeah.
So why was that something that ended happening for the console version, but not something that happened when you were doing the PC? What made that?
So actually, the PC version has two rebindable keys, but I didn't mention because it's not something that's worth mentioning. It's not the full game, so it's just two keys that you can rebind. It's the because you can attack with the keyboard as well, not just the mouse. You can attack with the X and the Z button. Attack and select a different character with the Z button, and that's rebindable right now. But not the full game. What I decided to do with this, why I decided was because when I started making the Xbox version, I approached a community, I went to Reddit, approached them, and the majority of players asked for rebindable keys. That's the reason I made it.
Yeah, because that's what I was saying is that because hardcore gamers normally will ask that because they know it's something that's not usual on console.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why they ask it because they, no one ever offers it.
Exactly.
So the reason my double, actually my question has like a meaning behind it, which is, was it a matter of polish? Like, you know that it would be different, the fact that your game, which is not usual at all, to have rebindable keys in the console, which is something no one normally offers on console.
Kind of, yes, of course, because if you have an extra option, if people ask, oh, can I rebind? Yes, you can. It's a nice feature. But also because when I was playtesting the game with on in person, a lot of people would keep, oh, but this is, I usually use a different button for on a different game, and I can't, because you can make it similar to the most common games, but not every single game. So I eventually felt like, okay, if I have the option, most of the stuff that I talked here was given the option to the player, like the zoom. I don't know what the right zoom is for the player or the rebindable or the key, so I added that option because here, just do whatever you want, do whatever feels right to you. And a majority of people won't change it. They just try to play it like it's meant to, but there's a small fraction of people that will use that, and it's just a nice touch. It's not something...
It becomes a polish, though.
Yeah, it's a polish.
It means flexibility to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a problem.
Kind of like that Japanese-American thing with the X in the circle.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just a matter of polishing, adding those extra options that people... It's if you keep finding the interface to play the game, they don't even know if the game is fun or not. Even when you are, you can attack just by moving towards the enemies. You don't need to press. You can press a button. There's a button to attack. But if you run towards the enemies, it will automatically attack. That's a small thing that people. Oh, I can do this. I don't even have to use my other hand to play the game. So it's that. It makes difference because people are playing on the couch. Oh, I can play it just with the left hand. Nice. So I'm just doing this. But if you want to take a different approach, like a strategy to the game, you need to use the other ones. But you can play it like casually, just when a touch screen, for example, just using one thumb. Yep. I don't know if anyone has any questions. So, okay, thank you for being here. If you guys want any more thing, you can catch me on the bottom floor and talk to me. Don't be shy. Thank you.